I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast version of Ben and Woods. Thanks for finding us wherever you are, radio.com, downloading the radio.com app, or, of course, you can listen to us on your smart speaker and make sure you subscribe so you get our content every single day.
Absolutely. And there's lots of other podcasts from other hosts here in the building and here at 97.3. Make sure to check those out as well. But right now, back to Ben and Woods.
I'm very torn this morning on the topic of the night. Ben and Woods.
This is not a surf. It's a beautiful song.
Not a surf.
You like it?
Yeah. Different.
It's called Blizzard of 77. It's a really good song.
Okay. It's Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. Ball spinning the music. Hammer's answering the phones now. And we're here until 9 o'clock. Got a good show for you this morning. Coming up 6:35. They get started early. At San Diego State, we're going to pull Zach Arnett out of meetings, defensive coordinator for the Aztecs.
Is he in a meeting or is he going to be on his way to work?
No, they're already going to be in meetings, I'm told. Yeah, they get to work early. Rocky's like 70. He gets up early. He wants his coaches up early with him.
Damn.
He got a good defense this year, at least through two games. Yeah. Very impressive.
Very impressive.
Coming off the win over UCLA, game against New Mexico State on Saturday. Later this hour, we'll talk with the defensive coordinator. We used to chat with him at the old place, and I always liked Zach. I mean,
he's great.
Rocky's obviously, he's the defensive coach, so yeah. Defensive coordinator is a bit different of a role than it might be on another team, but hey, they have another good season. Zach Arnett is going to get himself a raise or a promotion,
yep,
or an offer somewhere else based on how well the Aztecs are playing right now. So we'll talk a little San Diego State football coming up. It is a Thursday. That means we'll have our Mort report with ESPN's Chris Mortensen. That comes your way at 7:35. And got to get you ready for all the college and football action. A little Cash Meddy action this morning at 6:20. We'll go through some of the games with our resident handicapper.
Is he still on probation or
not?
Not
off to the greatest start.
Is he not? How did he do last week?
5-5 overall in the season.
All right, but at least
he's not making money. Not losing a ton. He's
at least
treading water.
At least
so far.
He admits it. You know, we've had guys on the air, then they've given some predictions, and
I am 19-2 against the spread. No, you're not.
I swear to God,
I
lost
not.
Like seven picks you gave
told
me
us
last
like
week.
Six losers already. There's no way you're 19-2 against the spread. Documented.
They never want to bring it up. But see, Cash Meddy will come in this morning and he will wear it. He will wear his slow start. The other thing too about Cash Meddy is, I think maybe he's 5-5 on the picks he's given us, but I think in his other pick, he doesn't give us all his picks.
No, I think those are all his picks. Total Twitter feed pick. He hasn't given us 10.
Okay, good.
Yet, so we'll see what he's got this week for us. That's just about 15 minutes away. But as I said, I'm a little torn this morning. You went to the game last night at Petco Park. I went to the game. Chris Paddock has really crescendoed here at the end of the season. After a bit of a struggle against the Boston Red Sox a few weeks ago, got lit up a couple of times. Three starts in a row, one run total. I think he's got a 14 1/3 now straight scoreless inning streak. Is this it for Chris Paddock? Do you shut him down at this point? I mean, it's like, I get it. You want him to end on a high note. You don't want him to overtax the arm. At the same time, kind of want to see him pitch at least one more time, maybe against another playoff contending team next week in the Milwaukee Brewers. That would be his next scheduled start at Miller Park. Like, why do you shut him down when he's pitching so well? Let him go one more time.
I couldn't agree more, Benny. And you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but I did see this tweet from Dennis Lynn last night that was pretty awesome. If this was the end of Chris Paddock's season, his final stats will include 135 2/3 innings, a 3.38 ERA, and a 1.00 whip, walks, hits, innings pitched. Since 1986, Jose Fernandez and Walker Buehler are the only rookie pitchers to finish with equal or better numbers in those three categories. That's incredible. That's really, but really good company.
It's certainly very promising.
Very promising.
You know, you look at those numbers, and I know you when you watch Paddock season up close, yeah, there were some highs and some lows and some struggles. At the beginning of the year, you wondered, is this kid ever going to have any problems at all? I mean,
right.
He's coming right out and dominating. Went through one lull, kind of got it back in the middle of the season, went through a second, you know, maybe tired arm, just maybe some bad luck, and now finishing strong. But overall is what you get to look at those numbers. And when you tell me 3.38 ERA, whip right around one, those numbers don't lie over the course of the season. They lie for, you know, a three starts period. Yeah, everyone can have a good, you know, month.
Start or two, yeah.
A start or two. But over a course of a season, that's telling. Those numbers don't lie.
What's 90 more pitches, honestly? Like, the guy prepares. We, you know, you see video of him out there running and throwing all the time. What is 90 more pitches?
Andy Green,
let him do it.
Andy Green played it very coy. Had reporters afterwards kind of going, well, how'd you think about his first season? And he's kind of like, oh, are you saying it's over? I'm not saying it's over. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
He was kind of giving that wink, wink. I know that they'll talk about it like they do after every start. But here was Andy Green on Chris Paddock's performance, 6 shutout innings against the Cubs last night.
It's been really good. Fastball command sets up everything for him, moving that fastball all over the zone, executing to all parts, and the changeup ends up getting more swing and miss. He pitched really well. Rizzo put two of the just pro at-bats against him. And Chris didn't yield and was able to execute when he needed to. And it was a special day for him, a really good outing.
I think ultimately, though, Woods, I fall on the side of let's call it a season now.
Really?
There's nothing left to prove. There's nothing left to accomplish this year for Chris Paddock. Every pitch, you say, what's 90 more pitches? It's 90 more pitches to have a pitch come out wrong and get something, you know, pulled, torn, or strained in that arm, that it's the last thing you want to see. You want a nice, healthy Chris Paddock ready to go at spring training next year. He's thrown 130-plus innings now. I think he can go give you kind of a full load next year, what you're looking for.
I don't think anybody's wrong. I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I mean, if they ran him back out there for 90 more pitches, one more start, I think we'd all say, hell yeah, he's earned it, he deserves it, and he's preparing.
I don't know. I mean, if he goes out and gets lit up, even if he doesn't get hurt, it's not the end of the world, but you'll be like, ah, man, I wish we had shut him down one earlier. If he gets hurt, you'll absolutely say it was a complete mistake.
You could
have shut him down.
What's more likely, that it does more harm or more good?
And if he
more,
pitches well, it's like, oh, yeah, he pitched well again. Like we've been seeing, it doesn't add really much value at this point at the end of the season.
No, and you could get him to probably at the most, you could get him to 141, 142 innings out of, you know, 5, 6, 7 inning start. But again, like, you're a big league pitcher. You want to take the ball, in his case, what, every 6 days? For now, that's let's finish the season. Let's finish strong. And he's gotten that. He's on a pitch count. And if something gets tweaked, if something doesn't feel right, shut him down. I could go either way. I don't care. I'm not going to come in here and pitch a fit if they shut him down. I'm also not going to pitch a fit if he goes and takes the toes of the rubber against the Brewers. I think whatever they want to do, I'm like, man, whatever. He's earned another start, in my opinion, and it's not going to hurt him.
You do have a ready-made solution, though, if you need to replace him in the starting rotation next week, because Garrett Richards appears ready. He's thrown his last minor league start. They're going to have him throw a bullpen when they go to Colorado this weekend. And if all goes well, it looks like the expectation is that Garrett Richards will make his Padres debut next week in Milwaukee.
Good.
At Miller Park in one of those four games. Just a little preview, hopefully, of what could be a key member of the Padres rotation in 2020. Don't forget, I mean, when this guy was healthy, which was a big if, obviously, in the Angels' time, but when he was healthy, he was one of the best pitchers in the American League.
Yep.
And now he's a Padre, and he's back from surgery, and he could be going into 2020 prime for what could be a pretty good season. So that's exciting.
It's a nice reward for a guy that has clearly worked his tail off to get back. I mean, if you had told us at the beginning of the year we may get to see one Garrett Richards start, I remember we kicked it around, and we're like, man, there's just no way. There's no way they would do that. I don't think he's going to be ready. And turns out he's ready and going to take the mound at some point. So, yeah, it doesn't – it's great. I hope he goes out and does well. It's not really, doesn't really mean anything for 2020 other than, hey, he got a little bit of work on the mound last season. We talk about momentum. Momentum, I think, helps you day to day, Benny. I don't know that momentum will carry you 5 months or so. You know, like, hey, I really ended last year on a high note. I know that means I'm gonna hit well in March and April and May. It doesn't work that way.
Then I can't talk about last night's game without a shout out to Manuel Margot, who had a night.
He
for
sure
himself,
did, man.
Went in the fourth inning and made a leaping catch at the wall. One of those, like, not sure it would have been out, but
it wouldn't have.
You know,
but
he really
doesn't
cares.
Matter. He made the play.
Love seeing Uncle Teddy, you know, hanging the star himself out of the press box, out of the radio booth. Then he goes, hits a home run off Cole Hamels, who was at that point looked almost untouchable.
He was cruising.
Like, I was going, how is anyone going to score in this game? This is going to be like one of those 1-0 finals. But he got to Cole Hamels. He stole another base. His base running has been so improved. 3 hits overall. I mean, he looked like a superstar out on the field yesterday. And Jesse brought up a good point about Manuel Margot. I didn't realize his splits have been pretty strong against lefties this year. He's hitting like 365. Against left-handed pitchers.
It's really good.
You know, Padres have those. I mean, you know, Hunter Renfro, Manuel Margot against left-handed pitchers, Will Myers. I mean, they're all dangerous against lefties and all pretty meek against righties.
Yeah.
Which is, you can't have three platoon outfielders.
Nope.
No one has enough roster space to platoon three outfielders. They need someone who can hit
both
sides.
Yeah.
And right now they've got some great options against lefties, but it is a little thin. That's why Nick Martini's getting so much playing time. So, you know, he can hit righties. He's a left-handed bat who can at least get on base and hit, you know, get some singles against right-handed pitchers, which is something that the Padres need to address some way or another this offseason.
Yeah, pretty solid though, man. Beating a good Cubs team, beating a pitcher of Cole Hamels caliber, kind of throwing a monkey wrench into their season right now. They're not looking great right now. They've lost 3 in a row, I believe. Is that right? 3 in a row or 2 in a row?
They've lost 6 out of 8, I think.
They've lost two.
They've lost their wild card lead. The Milwaukee Brewers, even without Christian Yelich, won again last night. They're now tied with the Cubs for the second wild card spot. Both teams 4 games behind the Cardinals.
They've
now
won.
In the NL Central.
The Brewers have won 6 straight. Cubs have lost 2 straight. They're 4-6 in their last 10. Yeah, man. I mean, that's fun for the Padres to go out and throw a monkey wrench into their season.
All right. So we'll talk more about the Padres, our visit to Petco Park later in the show. But coming up next, we're going to get our picks for the week. College football, NFL, our handicapper, who probably puts way too much work into this, but that's because he cares about y'all this week. He doesn't want you to lose your money. A little cash medi action coming up for you next. It is Ben Woods on a Thursday morning right here on 97.3 The Fan. Well, maybe we should be turning to our own Paul Reindel for advice after his 14 out of 15 week.
Cash Reindel.
In our Pick'em contest.
By the way,
if you did sign up for Ben and Woods Pick'em each week, don't forget to get your picks in.
Yep.
You got the first game tonight. What are we at? The Bucks and the Panthers?
Yes.
Playing on the short week, the ugly Thursday night game. Are they going to get rid of these at some point?
They got to get rid of the Thursday night game at some point. I wish they would. You know, it's fine. We
like
got content.
Two out of 17 of them are good.
Really? Just, I mean, honestly. Last week was terrible. Tonight, we'll probably. I'm still going to watch, though, because that's what we do.
All right. Let's go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Welcome our handicapper for the season, Cash Medi. Is back with us. Craig, good morning to you.
How's it going, guys?
What's up, brother?
Pretty good. Pretty good. All right, give us an inventory, an accounting, as it were, of how you're doing so far this season, because we're all about transparency in the Cash Medi segment.
You know, I'm 5-5, so I'm at 500, and I feel like if I could be, you know, 500 for the first 4 weeks, I think I'll be fine. I'll be over 500. You know, after that.
Right, you're gathering information, and then you'll use that information later in the season that you've collected to cash in. I understand that.
Yeah, you just don't want to get off to a terrible start. I don't want to be 5, 6, 7 games under 500 then you're digging yourself out of a hole. But 500, that's fine. I mean, I've done better. I've done worse. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
So are we going all NFL this week? I mean, there's no rules to cash money.
You do what you want.
You don't want to bet on games you don't want to bet on. That's part of the way you lose money is you start throwing money at action that you shouldn't be throwing it at. So we're going all in NFL this week.
Yeah, I didn't like anything in the college. I mean, it looks like a pretty weak schedule this week in college. I'm going all NFL this week. I'll start with New England at Miami. And this one's kind of interesting because I'm actually on both sides. But the reason I took New England minus 15.5 when it first came out. And, you know, I just thought to myself, like I talked about last week, I said, if it's anything under 17, I'm going to take New England. Now the spread has jumped up to 19, so I'm actually hedging it.
Ooh.
And I'm taking Miami plus 19. So what here it could happen is I'm either going to go 1-1, which is most likely, and I'll just lose the juice. But I could win both if it falls on 16, 17, or 18, and I could go 1-0 if it falls on 19.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is one of those handicapper strategies that if you see a line that you think is going to move big time, you bet one way, you bet the other, and then you're just cheering really hard for a window.
Yeah,
where you could go 2-0 on those bets, and it's the risk is minimal. The payoff is potentially big time on a game like that. All right, well, too late for everyone to get the New England line, but you do like Miami if they're getting 19 or more in that game. How about the San Francisco 49ers coming off a nice win in week one against the Cincinnati Bengals, who gave the Seattle Seahawks everything they could handle but came up short in their first game?
Yeah, I liked what I saw from Cincinnati. I think John Ross, he was, a top 15 pick or top 10 pick for them. He finally looked like an actual receiver for them. I'm taking Cincinnati minus one. And what I like here in this situation is San Francisco last week traveled all the way to Tampa Bay. Now they're coming back to San Francisco. Now they're traveling back to Cincinnati. And since 2015, week two teams on back-to-back road games are 1-14 against the spread. So Ooh. I think the travel will get San Francisco here. So I like Cincinnati minus the one.
Benny, that's that information that you only get from Cash Medi. I'm sure you could find it, but I'm not going to go digging for it. Thank you, Cash Medi, for that pick. That is, I like that a lot, and the numbers don't lie, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's just tough. You got to find spots that teams are traveling far or, you know, another team's coming off a bye. They got extra rest, stuff like that. So I circle games. This is a game I circled early in the season, you know, or before the season even started. That's what I like to do. I like to get spots. I don't necessarily say, hey, Team A is playing Team B. Team A should beat Team B. That's not how I do it.
And then we've got the Saints and the Rams, two teams that almost feel like they're in the same division. They're not, but you have playoff meetings, regular season meetings. It's turned into an NFC rivalry. Obviously, there's going to be some, you know, resentment over the way the NFC Championship game played out with the blown pass interference call that led to all the rule changes in the NFC Championship game. What do you think is going to happen after both teams open with victories in week one?
Now, last week I was fading the Saints, you know, because I felt like they were looking forward to this game. Well, this week I'm going to back them up plus three. I think it went down to 2.5, but I got it at plus three, the Saints. And I just like the revenge factor. I think the Saints are going to be better than the Rams. I think the Rams' arrow is pointing down. I don't think they're as good as people think. They probably will win their division, but I don't see the Rams as a Super Bowl contender this year. I still think the Saints are a Super Bowl contender, and I think they're going to be really focused on this game. They want the revenge. I like the Saints, and I'm actually even getting points. I think the wrong team is actually favored in this game.
Interesting, because Rams did look good. I agreed with your assessment, certainly going into the season, that this could be a letdown year for the Rams, one of those Super Bowl loss,
Super Bowl hangover
yeah. type seasons. I was impressed that they could go into Carolina, who I think is going to be a decent Carolina Panthers team this year, and got a win in week one. So it caused me to have a little more hesitation about this matchup, Craig.
Yeah, and that actually helped me out because I think the spread, you know, if the Rams didn't look so good in week one, I think the spread would have been less, maybe closer to maybe Rams only plus or minus one, but I got a whole field goal here. I like my chances. I mean, the Rams looked pretty good against Carolina, but I think Cam Newton looked really bad in that game. He was missing throws. His shoulder looks, His shoulder looks jacked up. I don't think he's healthy. But, you know, I like the Saints in this spot. I think they were maybe even overlooking the Texans, and you could see that in the first half. I believe the score was 14-3. They got it going. It looked like they're in a rhythm. So I like Breeze and the Saints. I think they're going to be focused for this game.
All right, Miami Dolphins, but you got the bracket there on the point spread with New England. You got the Cincinnati Bengals at home against the San Francisco 49ers, and you like the Saints as underdogs against the Los Angeles Rams. Paul tells me you also have a bit of a lean in the Bears-Broncos matchup. Not that I really want to watch that one, but go ahead, give us your thoughts quickly.
Yeah, I'm leaning the Broncos here, and this is also a game I circled before the season. I like Vic Fangio, who was the defensive coordinator in Chicago. I like him versus Trubisky. I think that could be a mismatch. The Broncos actually are getting 2.5 points. And the Broncos are 22-1 since 2000 in week one or two at home. And the reason why I think they have the advantage at home early in the season, the altitude, and I don't feel like teams are in the best physical shape in weeks one and two. So I think they're huffing and puffing, you know, and I think that altitude plays a big factor in them. The only reason why I'm not taking the Broncos here is Joe Flacco. It's just hard to bet on that guy because I could see it. He throws a pick six early. Next thing you know, you're down 10-0. And Chicago's defense is just too good that Flacco can't really overcome that. So if it gets, I don't know. I'm probably just leaning on that one. But could I say one thing real quick? Can I like give a
it's
shout
your segment.
Out
to my yeah, wife? Do it. It's yours.
I'd like to give a shout out to my wife, Angela. It's our 10-year anniversary today. So I just wish her the best today. I'm sure people had the under on that we went last.
Yeah, I mean, Craig, as a guy that has also outkicked his coverage, I tip my hat to you, sir. Craig's wife is very attractive, and Craig and I often sit and wonder how we managed to pull it off. Probably with his great gambling acumen, mine for other
that
reasons.
Is very attractive,
it's
sure.
Very attractive.
Craig, good stuff, as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks.
Thanks,
much.
Brother.
A little Cash Medi on our SDCCU fan hotline.
Cash Medi, dude.
SDCCU has low auto loan rates, as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at SDCCU.com. Yes, we love Cash
auto
Medi.
Loan
yes,
rates.
We do.
He is so serious about his...
Well,
oh, my
would
God,
you not want
it.
Someone who doesn't take it seriously? That's the last thing you'd want.
No, remember when we used to do our fake gambling segment? We would just literally be like, we got family.
Yeah,
we just call it family.
Like last second.
And with like last second, I'm like, give me the Lions.
We can do better.
Break leading up to it, I'm like, oh God, we can do better.
We can do better, and we have done better. Thank you, Cash Medi.
It'd be hard for the Aztecs to play much better than they did on defense the first 2 weeks of the season. We will talk to Rocky Long's defensive coordinator, Zach Arnett, going to join Ben and Woods. That is coming up next right here on 97.3 The Fan. Guess what, Woods?
What, Ben?
You beat UCLA. People talk about you.
Yeah, they do.
I know that Rocky, it's like a non-conference game. Well, we only care about winning the conference. I'm just telling you that the people in San Diego pay attention when you beat UCLA.
Chest thumping.
Just the way it is. I've heard more proud Aztecs fans this week than I've heard in a very long time. We're going to chat here in just a moment with the defensive coordinator for Rocky Long's Aztecs, Zach Arnett. First, Ben Woods brought to you by Golf Mart, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. And we go out to our SDCCU fan hotline right now. Joining us, the defensive coordinator for the San Diego State Aztecs. They play at New Mexico State on Saturday night. Zach Arnett is with us. Coach, it is good to have you back on Ben and Woods. First time on our new home here. How you doing, man?
Yes, sir. Good morning, guys. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, congratulations on the start to the season. Not just 2-0, but on defense, ranking in the top 10 nationally in many categories, including, I guess, the most important category if you're a defensive coach, and that would be points allowed. Not that many of them. 0 in the first game, just 14 to UCLA in the second game. What's been going right for your guys so far?
Well, the guys have done a nice job of playing hard and knowing what to do, and for the most part executing it the way the game plan calls for that coach sets up. I think it's way too early, you know, 2 games to be talking about stats, and you gotta get through the season before you can look back and actually really evaluate how good the defense was.
And coach, the opponent you guys will have this weekend, I mean, they've had a rough go of it this year. They've also played number 23, Washington. They lost 58-7. Then they had to play number two Alabama, 62-10. There, when you see a team like this, what is your biggest fear as a defensive coordinator? That they are just so, I mean, are they just so beaten up and battered, or do you fear them being like a wounded animal that can come out and punch you guys in the mouth?
Oh, I think you watch them on film and you recognize immediately off the bat the talent that they do have there, and then schematically the things they do that make it hard on you. I mean, second play of the game versus Washington State in the opener, right? Their running back, who I think is probably their best player, he just takes a little zone play and he's up the sideline for about a 25-yard gain. Looks like he's the fastest guy on the field. I mean, they spread you sideline to sideline. They're getting the ball out quick, and when they give you those formations and spread you out like that, that just means everything is in a lot of space. There's a lot of one-on-one tackles. So if you miss a tackle in open space, it can go for a 65-yard touchdown. You know, it's going to be a lot of yards after the catch if you don't do a good job tackling.
What's been the mood around practice this week? I mean, a little extra swagger after beating UCLA. Is that a good thing? I mean, you obviously don't want guys to get overconfident at this point in the season either. But, you know, how have things been following that win at the Rose Bowl?
Well, you hope the team is mature enough, and obviously you rely on your senior class to get the message across to everyone. And it's just like Coach said, right? Our stated goal is to win the conference championship. And winning that game versus UCLA means absolutely nothing towards that goal. And then that's the way it is for a bunch of teams in the conference. Mountain West Conference done really well against the Pac-12 and Power 5 teams at the start of this season, but every team wants to win the conference championship, and quite frankly, those victories mean nothing towards that. And so we get the guys back in, they get Sunday off after the game, get back in on Monday, review the tape from UCLA, obviously point out the things we did well, the things we need to improve upon if we're going to have continued success, and then you throw them in the New Mexico State film and you just show them, hey guys, they got just as good athletes as we have, and they're going to prepare like heck because they got their home opener and they're excited to be back at home, and they're going to be ready for you. And if we don't get ourselves prepared to play, then you know you're going to be sorely disappointed on that plane ride back. And so I think the guys got that message, and they come out to work and have put the UCLA game to bed and have moved on and know that we're getting ready to face a really talented opponent.
We are talking to SDSU defensive coordinator Zach Arnett here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Kiava Tizino is a player. He was a great player last year. He's really coming into his own and getting a lot of that national talk. And he's a guy you fully expect to be playing on Sundays, don't you?
Well, I certainly think Kiava's going to get a chance to. He had a heck of a year last year. Really proud of the way he's worked this offseason. Voted a team captain, so that says a lot about what his teammates think of him, both as a teammate and how he works every day. And so I sure hope he has an even better season this year than last year. And I got a feeling he'll certainly have an opportunity to play on Sundays. Now, there's a lot that goes into that. Me never having coached in the NFL, you know, I know it's a changing game up there, and I keep hearing more and more about fewer and fewer linebackers are being kept on NFL rosters because the spread is taking over the NFL as well. So it's getting difficult. Calvin Munson, really good linebacker for us a couple of years ago. I know he's hung around the Patriots with the practice squad, but it's tough to crack those NFL rosters as a linebacker, but I certainly think Kiava's going to have an opportunity to do so.
Aztecs defensive coordinator Zach Arnett with us here on Ben and Woods. Coach, have you ever lost a game as a coach? Because I know Rocky said this week that coaches never won a game. Coaches can only lose games. That's a lot of pressure. That you can only lose games, so you can only mess up. You can't do anything right, apparently.
Yeah, no, that's the truth, though. I mean, there's not a coach who makes a tackle, throws a touchdown pass, you know, runs for a touchdown. The players make plays, so players go out there and play, and they're the ones who win the game. The only thing we can do is give them a bad game plan or put them in bad situations to where they don't have a chance to be successful. And so, yeah, I'm sure over the 8 years I've been here, you know, we can certainly think back to some games where we think we made some bad decisions in game planning or preparation, and we didn't have our guys give them the best chance to go in and be successful. And, yeah, those haunt you as a coach. So, obviously, you try to work like hell.
I'm just teasing you a little bit because, you know, it's Rocky being Rocky, and that's one of Rocky's, I guess you call them Rocky-isms that he talks about, and I've heard him say before, but it just seems like a lot of pressure. Woods, would you like a job where you couldn't do anything right? You could only do things wrong.
I do that anyway here in radio. Yes.
Coach, when you pop in the film against New Mexico State, obviously they play Alabama last week, so you're seeing the Crimson Tide on there, right? This is obviously a little bit above your pay grade, something that J.D. Wicker would have to consider, but would you like a shot against a team like that? I heard that it had been brought up, you know, Alabama, they're not going to come out to San Diego, but they invite San Diego State to come play them in Tuscaloosa. Would you like a shot at a team like that or a Clemson if the opportunity presented itself?
You're exactly right. Those decisions are way way above my pay grade.
What do you see when you look? I mean, you see them. You're not breaking them down, but
I'm watching, focusing on New Mexico State's offense versus Alabama's defense, and I'd sure like to line up with several of the guys they got on their defense. I did not get to see any of Alabama's offense. I know, you know, you see what Tua Tagovailoa and his stats are on the season and the different things they're doing. So
I bet their defense looked pretty good too, though, right?
Yes, they did. I know they've suffered a couple of injuries from what I've heard in national reports, but they certainly seem to be loaded as always.
I mean, it's not just San Diego State. I mean, Alabama and Clemson have kind of separated themselves from all of college football, wouldn't you just kind of say, just in the last few years. I don't know what the secret sauce is, what the magic is, but do you think that's good for college football the way that they've kind of turned themselves into, you know, 1A and 1B of your entire sport?
Well, they do seem to be meeting up against each other either in the semis or the finals annually over about the last 4 or 5 years. I think it's good. Anytime there's elite competition, right, it's good for the sport because it makes everyone else, you're working harder to compete with those guys. You know, now obviously those are two teams on the opposite end of the country that we don't really have any interaction with or come across on the recruiting trail very much because it's just not an area of the country where we're devoting resources to go and recruit. So I haven't really come across them, but it's certainly not going to knock either of those programs for because they put in work and they recruit really talented players and they're reaping the benefits of that.
Well, Coach, good luck to the Aztecs against the Aggies on Saturday night. And then Utah State, the conference opener, is just around the corner when I know it gets a little extra serious around those parts. You even get clapped back into a meeting after spending some time out with us now?
Yes, sir. We'll get back into a staff meeting here and try to finish up this game plan.
All right, we'll let you back to it. Thanks, Coach.
All right, have a good one.
All right, Zach Arnett, defensive coordinator at San Diego State on our SDCCU fan hotline. SDCCU has auto loan rates as low as 3.15% APR. Low rates means low payments. Apply today at sdccu.com. Would you like to see San Diego State take on an Alabama or a Clemson, knowing that the result would be an utter annihilation, right? I mean, it is.
Yeah, when you ask
even against conference teams, it really is for the most part.
When you ask that question, you know, I think as a coach, you have to say, oh, yeah, you know, we love our shot. I can't imagine any fan, any rational fan or person or coach or player would be like, yeah, I want to go against Alabama or Clemson. I know that you got competitive spirit. I know you have, you know, you want to measure yourself against the best. They're a different level. And I'm talking with other giant blue blood programs.
I wouldn't mind seeing San Diego State play like a Florida State.
A Notre Dame even. Yeah.
They played Notre Dame. It wasn't that long ago. Yeah. You know, like within the last decade, I'd say. But right now, going up against Clemson or Alabama just doesn't seem like it's fun.
It's like a death wish.
Yeah, it's just not. It's not what you're looking for.
And
it's
how
just
about freaking New Mexico State? You got to open with Washington, then you got to take on Alabama. I mean, that's two ranked teams. You don't have a conference. It's a nightmare. It would be a nightmare to go there. But I guess, you know, for those kids, you're like, hey, we got our asses kicked, but we're going up against, you know, some of the best in the country.
I think I'm good on Alabama. Don't need to see them. Clemson would be interesting just because I love Dabo Swinney. But San Diego State did play, was it like 5 or 6 years ago? They played Ohio State.
Yeah, they played Ohio State recently. They played Notre Dame.
Didn't they get like absolutely curb stomped by State?
They might have. They also had a game, I think it was Notre Dame, that they could have pulled out. They were like right there.
I'm not surprised.
Really close and missed that opportunity. So you just, I mean, if you don't take your shot, you're never going to pull off the miracle. You know, every once in a while.
I just found it. 42-7, they played number 3 Ohio State on September 7th, 2013.
Yeah, well, within the last decade or so. I remember that. Guys, we need, on Ben and Woods, a contestant to go up against Woods in Real or Fake. Giving away tickets to the Padres-Dodgers series later this month. 833-288-0973. Dial right now. We're going to play in just a moment. I kind of forgot to ask. I'd seen on UCLA side, one of their defensive players after the game said that Ryan Agnew, the quarterback, was tipping his passes by, like, going to his towel. And even though they knew, like, the pass was coming, they still couldn't stop him. He had, like, the best game of his career. Now, obviously, Coach Arnett's on the defensive side of the ball, but I was kind of wondering, do you sometimes see that in film? Like, oh, quarterback's doing this, and he's showing it's going to be a run here, or it's going to be a pass here. That can be a huge advantage. Now, Agnew came out on Tuesday and said, oh, no, we had someone told us that UCLA knew about that. So I actually worked it to my advantage, and on key plays, like a play action, I tipped, like, I didn't do the run. I did tipped run, and then we did the pass.
Oh, I like that.
Like the double cross trickery action going on against UCLA.
I love that. That is that good gamesmanship right there. Love it.
Good stuff. So, all right, before we get to 7 o'clock, let's get to a little Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods.
You can go plow through another donut.
It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
As I said, we've got Padres-Dodgers tickets on Tuesday, September 24th. All you have to do is beat or even tie Woods in a 5-round game of Real or Fake. We'll keep score. Whoever wins, that's how it works. Five rounds.
Five rounds.
All right, who do we got? We got Ryan in Coronado. Ryan, good morning. Welcome to Real or Fake with Ben and Woods. How you doing, Ryan?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, good luck to you. My co-host is getting pretty good at this game. All right, tonight, the television station where I work, ABC 10, will be airing a Democratic presidential debate. Now, not all of the candidates will be on stage. There's still about 20
Stick
people
to sports.
Who
Stick
remain
to sports,
in the race
man.
For Democratic nomination. Today on Real or Fake, wait on it here.
All right.
I will give you a name. You have to tell me if that person is a real Democratic presidential candidate or a fake, which today will be filled with September call-ups in Major League Baseball.
Oh, you bastard.
So it's a presidential candidate or a September call-up. Woods, you are up first.
All right.
We will start you out with Joe Sestak. Call-up or presidential candidate?
Call-up.
Damn it. Nope. 67-year-old former admiral and U.S. rep. So 0-for-1, Woodsy.
I feel like I'm going to seem very intelligent.
Ryan, let's try this. You. Tim Ryan, presidential candidate or September call-up, Ryan?
Presidential candidate for sure.
Very good. Oh, Ohio boy. United States representative.
You
1 point
toast.
For Ryan.
I'm dead.
Woodsy, let's try this one. Anthony Kay, candidate or call-up?
He's a call-up.
He is left-handed pitcher for the Blue Jays. All right, 1 point for Woods. Let's try Ryan. Wayne Messam. Wayne Messam, Ryan. Candidate or call-up?
Call-up.
No, he's the mayor of Miramar, Florida, running for vice president. All right, 1-1. We got a round number 3. Woodsy, let's try this one. Art Warren. Candidate or call-up?
Now, Art Warren sounds like a candidate, so I'm going to say call-up.
Right-handed pitcher for the Seattle Mariners.
If your name's Art, you're a politician.
Yep. No, then in this case, he's a pitcher. All right, Ryan, your turn. Let's go with John Delaney. Candidate or call-up, Ryan?
Oh, man. Candidate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Maryland rep.
Sounds like a candidate.
2-2. All right, here we go. We get to round number 4, all tied up. Woodsy, how about this one? Peter Fairbanks, candidate or call-up?
Sounds like a candidate. I'm going to go with call-up.
Yes. Right-handed pitcher for the Rays. All right.
Let's see what you're
Ryan,
doing.
Ryan, you need to get this one right to stay on pace. Let's try Stephen Bullock, candidate or call-up, Ryan?
Sounds athletic. Call-up.
No! Governor of Montana.
Damn it.
All right. You're not out yet, though, Ryan, but you need some help now in this final round. Woodsy, you get this one right, you lock out Ryan, and we'll throw the tickets back into the hopper. Here we go. Candidate or call-up? Kevin Kramer. Candidate or call-up, Woods?
Kevin Kramer is a candidate.
Oh, he's an infielder, outfielder for the Pirates. So, Ryan, it all comes down to the final round. If you get this one right, you win the tickets. Ryan, candidate or call-up? Michael Bennett, candidate or call-up?
Call-up.
No! He's the Senator of Colorado! And sorry, Ryan, you didn't win this time. That means we're going to throw the tickets back out into the hopper. We're going to take the fourth caller, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Ryan's misfortune can be your gain right now if you want to win some Padres-Dodgers tickets to the game on Tuesday, September 24th. A great game, a dramatic game. Woodsy wins again. This has been Real or Fake.
Real or fake?
I don't feel like I won. You know? The
Fan. By the way, I don't think any of those will be at the debate tonight. You've actually heard of the ones that will be at the debate, but they are still running for president.
They're still running. They count.
They're still running.
They count.
Good old Stephen Bullock and Michael Bennett, but not Art Warren. He's a pitcher.
Art Warren.
For the Seattle Mariners.
Whew. Yeah, I was, that was a toughie.
I could have thrown in Seth Mejias Breen. Got his first major league hit last night for the Padres.
You know, and
Woodsy texted me, who's that over at first base?
I had no
That's
idea.
Not Eric Hosmer.
In 20 years, you know, my son Bo will be like, Dad, I can't believe you were at Seth Mejias Breen's first game and got to see his, not his first game.
No, but his first hit.
Got to see his first hit.
By the way, that reminds me, we do have some disappointing news. We were going to interview Eric Hosmer yesterday for the show today. And then, of course, Andy Green gave him the day off. And with the day off, it's like he's not getting there like 5 hours before the game to talk
right.
to us.
Right. And
he's going to take the day off. He's going to get there late.
Yeah,
so we didn't get to talk to him.
He shows up late, and then we're, you know, he's not. There's too many people around. We can't have the dugout to ourselves. Yeah. So we didn't get to do the interview. To say I was disappointed
Reschedule.
Is an understatement.
Reschedule. Woodsy was devastated.
I was.
The sadness on your Twitter feed yesterday.
Yeah.
I felt bad for you. Yeah. But We'll get that done at some point. It just remains our white whale that we're chasing. All right, we got lots to get to, some don't do this. Chris Mortensen's Mort Report all coming up in hour number three. Half the show still to go. It's Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.